Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, third and final hour upon us once again. I'm flying solo tonight, at least for the last hour and for this hour. Everybody taking an early 4th of July holiday here, even though it's June 26th, but welcome back. I am James Edwards, a creator and founder of the Political Cesspool radio program. I guess if I was the creator, I was also the founder. What I meant to say is creator and host, primary host, whatever. I'm here, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, my flagship station, my home for the last 6 years. And it's good to be with you tonight, as always. From these friendly confines, we're going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, going out to the internet simulcast and our audience there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And we've had a good show so far tonight. No guests on the agenda tonight. You are the guest star of tonight's radio program, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate Keith Alexander for joining me during that first hour. Covered some topics that second hour that I hope piqued your interest or provided you with some worthwhile information at the least. And now we are taking your calls. We're taking your calls. You are the guest star of tonight's installment, and we want to hear from you. I had a lot of phone lines jammed up there during the latter part of that second hour. A couple of the lines opened up as we went into the break there just a few minutes ago, and so now I'm asking you to call in again, 1-866-986-NEWS, 1-866-986-NEWS. Be on the line with me, James Edwards, right here on the Political Cesspool radio program. One thing, my board op, Denny, asked me if I had a story, any information, before we go back to you, our callers, on that little soccer tournament that's being played out there. Well, I could provide pretty trivial commentary on soccer. I'm not a soccer fan. I don't follow the sport. If you do, that's fine. It's just not my sport. But more than just provide you with an analysis, you know what kind of analysis you're going to get here in the political cesspool, and I got one for you. If you're white and British and you support England in the World Cup, what are you? Can anyone answer that? If you're white and you're British, if you're English, in other words, and you support England in the World Cup, what are you? You're a racist. Public housing employees in England have been ordered. Are you listening to me? Let me read this again. Pay attention, everybody. This is like when the teacher, kind of knocks on the desk, raps on the tap board, taps on the chalkboard. What did I just say? I need your attention for this. Public housing employees in England have been ordered to stop flying English flags on their own cars in support of England's soccer team because it's racist. That's according to the Daily Mail over there in the United Kingdom. It discriminates, they say, against foreign immigrants and public housing who are rooting for other countries. Of course, it's perfectly fine for non-white public housing employees to fly the flags of third world countries in England. That's not racist. But if you're English and you're supporting England, that's racist. Now, more than 1,200 housing association staff banned from flying England flags on their own cars. More than 1,200 workers have been banned from flying England flags on their own cars by managers over fears they could be deemed as racist. All 1,200 of those people need to buy my book. All 1,200 of those people need to buy my book at thepoliticalcesspool.org. If they did, they wouldn't take those flags off. I can promise you that. Employees at the Housing Association were sent a group email warning that decking their own personal vehicle with the St. George's flags could discriminate against those who aren't rooting for England during the World Cup. In other words, the black people who are understandably rooting for their people, for their black brothers in the games, that's okay. But by God, if you're white and you support your white country, then Bubba, that is a terrible sin in today's cultural Marxist climate. Managers at the Bolton at Home in Greater Manchester, which manages 18,200 council houses in the town, insist cars owned by their workforce must remain neutral in order to treat its customers with respect and without discrimination. Of course, again, it's okay if you're black and you fly a black flag. No problem. But today, an employee of the organization said, it's an absolute disgrace. Is that, could that be the one employee that has read my book? All we want to do, they say, is show support for the England football team, aka soccer team, in the World Cup. But we are being, in effect, told it's racist to start waving the English flag. A ban would be bad enough on company cars, but these are our own personal vehicles, and we should be allowed to do what we like with them. This big brother mentality has gone bonkers. Another worker said, people are decking out in the streets and houses in England flags, yet bosses here are being killjoys in the name of political correctness. That must be another person that's read my book over there. The message seems to be from them that we should be embarrassed to wave the England flag, yet all of us think we should be waving the England flag with pride. Don't our bosses want England to win the World Cup? Listen, hey, that's three sensible people quoted in this article. I'm not the only one. You're not the only one. If you tune into this radio program and as more people continue to listen to the show, more people will have the light switch turn on. But listen, that's what I'm talking about. Listen, we got to do something about this. We've got to not speak out in a reactionary or offensive manner, but we need to be masculine. Chuck Baldwin wrote an excellent commentary on the way men have been feminized, the way men are too scared to stand up for their family. We need males to be masculine. A masculine man wouldn't let some politically correct panty waist tell them they couldn't fly their country's flag on their car. And that's exactly what's going on. You can read more about this despicable story at my website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Okay, the phone lines are picking back up. We only have a minute or two before break, so we'll go back to the phones and then carry over into the next couple of segments. Let's go first to our friend Bobby Lee, the mouth of the South, calling in from one of my favorite places in the world, Clearwater, Florida. Bobby Lee, good to have you tonight. Another unexpected surprise from you.
Well, it's absolutely a wonderful experience just to listen to you, James.
Well, thank you, my friend.
I'll tell you one thing. It would be easy for them to tell me, whoever it is, to stop flying my Confederate flag or stop having it on my bumper sticker or even my Ron Paul sign or anything that I had. All they'd have to do is shoot me.
Well, hey, don't give them any ideas.
I do not allow someone else to tell me. And I think you had a person on by the name of Jim before, and he was trying to explain to a black, you know, why he had the Confederate flag. You don't have to explain to anybody about it. I'll tell you the truth. Blacks think black, whites think white, Mexicans think Mexican. We all think different. I don't have to apologize to anybody that 85% of the patents in this world were introduced by my fellow European people. And I'm talking about the Teutons, the Aryans, the Italians, the French, the Anglos, the Saxons, the Irish, whatever. We did it.
Facts
we came
facts.
Here.
Facts
this
facts.
Country was absolutely nothing. And I'm sick and tired of us playing second fiddle to these idiots out there and not standing up for what you and I know is our Christian understanding and our race, our heritage, our European heritage, sir.
Bobby Lee, tell us what you really feel, baby. I love it. You're right on target. And I'll tell you, this is something I noticed the other day. Someone was accosting, I saw this on the news. Someone was a minority was accosting some white person for being a racist, presumably because they did something as racist as flying, you know, the flag of their country or something like that. But yet, you know, this black person's wearing glasses, you know, got a cell phone, driving a car. He probably likes air conditioning. He's probably ridden in an airplane before. You know, I wonder, all these minorities who hates whites so bad, they should quit using all the racist technology that our people invented, you know, if they really wanted to get back to their roots and really wanted to, you know, be one with themselves.
We've got to take
a break. We'll be right back.
We'll
be right back.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We got to do open mic nights more frequently. This is just far too much fun. We've got Richie on the line from New Orleans. I'm going to get to you, Richie, in just a moment. It's always good when you call in because you're a great caller. Want to get back to Bobby Lee in just a moment. But the point I was making right as we went to break was that, you know, if all these minorities really want to keep it real, to use their parlance, they need to quit using all the racist technology that our people, as Bobby Lee so eloquently pointed out and so demonstratively pointed out, all the technology our people have created. Now, I have so inspired Keith Alexander tonight with my choice of topics that he is punching the clock for a little overtime, a little surprise here for everybody. Keith is not back in studio with me, but he is driving around listening to the show in his car and decided he had to call back in. Why, Keith?
Because the cesspool is my favorite radio program, and I'm not on the cesspool. I'm listening to the cesspool.
I believe
it. In fact, I'm going to get an MP3 player so I can download the stuff and play it all week long because this is so far superior to any other talk show that I ever have encountered on the radio or television that, you know, you just can't stay away from it.
Well, what type, with Keith, I can't disagree with you there. Not that I'm biased at all, but what topics tonight really lit your fire?
Well, let me touch on the one about the English being admonished that they can't support their own national soccer team because it might offend the dusky-hued immigrants in their midst. These council houses they're talking about, I don't know if you knew this, but I have English relatives, so I'm in the know on this. Council houses is a euphemism for public housing in England. They are established by so-called town councils. And, of course, because of this politically correct worship of diversity, they've opened the floodgates to immigrants in England, and they have all these dusky-hued immigrants disproportionately living in public housing paid for by normal, natural, white Englishmen who work and pay taxes to support these slums, okay? Now, this is a perfect parable about what is wrong with multiculturalism. This is the English nation. The English people, the indigenous English people, should set the standard and guests to their nation from the third world, like the people that are living in these council houses, should be made to accommodate and assimilate the majority culture, not the other way around. This is, again, just the world turned upside down. Again, you're never going to get this. You know, the mainstream media keeps a lid on this type of information. We're the ones that blow the lid off. We're the ones that give people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, the truth doesn't get much of a hearing in the mainstream media, but that's exclusively what we deal with here at the cesspool.
Well, that's right, Keith. And again, it doesn't matter if the black malcontents who are complaining about the English people flying the English flag, it doesn't matter if they offend the English people in their own country. All that matters is offending essentially unwanted guests, but nevertheless, I know you're pressed for time. There's one more thing you wanted to hit before we get back to Bobby Lee and Richie.
This Otis Mathis, the superintendent of the Detroit, Michigan school system. You know, let me tell you, this is a perfect parable also. You know, wonderfully talented black people were supposedly held back from achieving their true goals in life, and they were not allowed to ascend to the great heights that their natural abilities would have taken them, but for the pernicious plans of these evil white honkies. And now that we live in this new age, hopefully we can overcome this residual institutional racism and get these people into the positions of leadership in which they belong. Well, Otis Mathis is a perfect example of how much leadership potential this group actually has. Here's a man who got his job solely and exclusively because of affirmative action. He gets in it. He demonstrates his utter incompetence to do anything in the school board except one end of a broom sweeping out the hallway. And he gets this job. He's a functional illiterate. And then, as you say, he pleasures himself in the presence of female employees. One of them has the temerity to complain about this great civil rights leader, and he resigns and then thinks better of it because he knows there's no other place in the world where a slub like him can get a six-figure income and be in charge of heading up a school system, a public school system, in a major metropolitan area in America. This is Detroit. This was the gem of American industrial might. This was the capital of the American automobile industry. And now, led by people like Otis Mathis, it's become a third world cesspool within America. And this is just more proof of it. This is not the type of stuff you'd expect from an American leader. This is, if these people truly assimilated, truly had the talent that their liberal supporters say they did, he wouldn't be here in Detroit acting like Robert Mugabe or Idi Amin. You know, it's just, it's absurd that we have people like this in positions of leadership, and we have it for one reason and one reason alone, and that's the triumph of liberalism in the past 60 years in America. And you see what it's brought us? It's brought us Robert Mugabe, Idi Amin-style Bongo Congo leadership to America. And, of course, is there any wonder that since that wonderful decision of Brown versus Board of Education and the advent of leaders like black Robert Mathis, that American public education has gone from being number one in the industrialized world, or in the first world, as they call it, to being among the last in the first world. We have basically turned over the asylum to the inmates, and the inmates, they never disappoint. They're even more depraved and more absurd than you could imagine to be. You can't make it up, James, can you?
No, you can't make it up. And with regards to Detroit and the Mathis situation, I don't know if you knew this or not, Keith, but Detroit has what we like to call a race problem. And so,
until because that's about 89% black population, I understand.
Well, that's the kind of things you're going to have, unfortunately. And I wish it wasn't the case. I wish none of this was the case. I wish we were wrong, but I don't believe that we are. And if I think I'm right about something, I'm going to have to speak my mind to the benefit of those that.
You turn stuff over to them, we've turned over the presidency of the United States to a black man, Barack Obama, who's supposedly smarter than all of us.
Well, the more you
really
give him,
smarter than all of us, why doesn't he disclose his SAT scores and his scores at Columbia and Harvard Law School? He won't do it. That's because he's a dummy compared to other people that go to Harvard and Columbia.
Asking for his SATs is a little much. We're still working on the birth certificate, but nevertheless, the more you give him, the more you give him, and the more you pander and try to placate him, the more they scream that you're a racist, because they know the louder they scream, the more you give them. They're like babies.
The more they whine, the more they complain,
the more they cry, the more you try to pacify them. And then, listen, it's a great gig. It's a great gig. They got it clocked, man. They got it figured out. Anyway, Keith, thanks for the call, and thanks
and
for punching in a little overtime.
The media does too, James.
What's that?
The thing the media does, they hide this information from the public. The only place you're going to hear about Robert Mathis is on the political cesspool, or the people that are of a like mind with us that will reprint what we put on. So this information is being intentionally withheld from the public about just how corrupt and how incompetent black leadership is in America.
And if you try to point out any of these things, and listen, of course, there are everyone knows there's exceptions to every rule, and there are some good, productive black citizens who we've never said that there weren't. But by and large, this is the rule. And so as it is the rule, we got to deal with it. And for our troubles, we get denounced, called a whole lot of names. But we welcome that. We don't run from it. We stand strong. Keith, thanks for calling. We're going to get back to Bobby Lee after the break. We got that break coming up. And Rich, if you're still there, I promise you, my friend, we're getting to you. Please hold on. And we'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, quickly and promptly back to the phones. Bobby Lee, you were setting the airwaves on fire there, and then we got sidetracked there for about 15 minutes. But I'm glad we did, because Keith always adds great analysis to the conversation. But Bobby, where were we before we switch over to New Orleans and go to Richie?
Well, we were just at the fact that you have the greatest book, and every white person should read it. If they don't read that book, they are not totally educated. They have to read the book. The book is a truism on life in America today. It is absolutely important you read the book. If you don't want to read the book, don't tell me you're educated in America today in 2010, period.
Bobby, people might think I put you up to saying that. Will you set them straight, please?
Yeah. No, you certainly didn't, by the way.
Well, I appreciate, and I mean this very heartfelt, and with every fiber of my being, I appreciate your opinion of my work there. We did work hard to make a good book, and I'm certainly glad that a man of your stature, another talk radio host who's got a great show down there in Tampa, syndicated all over both coasts of Florida, that you would share such a high opinion of my work is really humbling, Bobby. I do appreciate it.
Well, the whole thing is, how many people have the guts to go ahead and order your book? Or are they afraid that their wife is going to find out that they have to pay a few bucks online for your book? If they are, they're worth exactly the salt that they have produced through their life, which is probably nothing. They've lived off the fat of the land. Now you, sir, are trying to save your race. You're trying to save Christian civilization. If these people out there don't have the gumption and the knowledge and the intelligence to understand that, they are worthless to the human race.
Well, Bobby, like you, I can tell you this in all sincerity. And, well, of course, everything we do on this show is done sincerely. But everything that I do, and I've said this before, and I mean it, and I want people to know it, including those who spend so much time bashing me. Not that what I'm about to say is going to change what they do.
We don't care about them bashing us. The hell with them.
Well, they're dishonest and they lie, but they should know.
It doesn't even matter if they lie. They couldn't tell the truth that their life depended on it.
Well, of course, more importantly for those tuned in, everything that I do is motivated by the love in my heart for my people and for my ancestors and for our future progeny. And that's why we do the show, because of love. And I tell you, I got a lot of love in my heart because we've done a lot of shows, Bobby, and so have you. And I thank you for your support. I tell you, we got to have you on for a more formal interview. Me and you could really, really set it ablaze for a solid hour. And I think that'd be a pretty interesting segment. I'm going to have to touch base with you and set something up, but just along those lines.
All right. That'd be fine. James, you make sure they buy your book. If they don't, they just don't understand how important it is. And the book is so good, so funny in places. It is so knowledgeable, and it you can understand what you have to do to make a defense for your race, your Christianity, and your love of your people.
Bobby, I'll tell you this. We've sold a lot of books, but we have an even bigger audience. And I can tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt that not everyone tuned into this show tonight, to say the least, has bought the book. So there needs to be something done about that. And if you want to follow Bobby's prescription, you can do just that, rectify the situation, by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org, buy the book online. You'll like it, I promise. And Bobby, we like you too, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Have a magnetic day.
You too, my friend. Bobby Lee, Mouth of the South, host of Conspiracy Facts on WTAN out of Tampa, Florida, St. Petersburg, and a couple of other places as well. Now let's go to New Orleans and Richie, who's been waiting patiently. Richie, one of my all-time favorite callers, although I've never met him yet. Richie, how are you?
Good. Hey, you doing, Jeff? I hope we do meet. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
And more Keith Alexander.
You like Keith?
More. Get more.
Everybody loves
Keith.
Where
else can you hear him anyway, aside from your show?
What's that?
Where else can I catch him on either via streaming or through the radio besides your show?
We monopolize Keith Alexander. Keith Alexander is commentary. The work of Keith Alexander is exclusively found on the Political Cesspool. He works for no one but TPC. He's our guy.
He belongs in the pantheon of right-thinking conservative Southerners.
He is. If you look through, let me say this, and I don't want to give Keith a big head. I love the guy. One of my best friends in life. If you look through the list of guests that we've had on this show, we've had some very big names, very prominent scholars.
Great guests.
I have never met anyone with more knowledge than Keith Alexander.
And
never met anyone
Keith
who can articulate his knowledge
and really make his point cogently, you know?
That Richie, is the magic of Keith Alexander. It's not just that he has all of this knowledge. He has the ability to articulate it in such a way, to break down his analysis and commentary in such a way that it just leaves you spellbound. He really has the gift
of
being someone.
His eloquence is pleasing.
It's a work of art, the way he constructs his thoughts. I love the man.
Great. Hey, listen, now to my point. I've been seeing on, I think it's TNT, on the network.
Right.
There's commercials for the new show Memphis.
Right,
and
yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but I just already know what it is. It's from the commercials. It's a kind of a younger, hip, white guy detective on the Memphis beat there. And through the commercials, obviously there's a black female authority figure, probably the captain of the squad up there. And then there's the bumbling, ignorant, white trash, redneck deputy that is fumbling and bumbling, and he's the butt of the joke, and he's easily mocked and ridiculed as
sure.
the green tooth Southerner, you know.
Right.
So have you seen this show yet, or been inconvenienced by their shooting there in Memphis?
Well, I'll tell you, if they got a black actor as the police chief, they've at least got that much fact in the mix there. That's probably pretty close to the way it is.
These shows. You know that every villain is going to be some redneck Confederate flag waving racist who wants to oppress this little children going to school, or the new immigrants who just got a store in downtown Memphis, or you've seen this in every show on the networks all over the country anyway.
It's a formula they've been using deadgum near. They've nearly beat it to death. It's in every show, every movie, anything that is seen on television or on the screen.
Yeah.
The white guy's the bad guy, always. And if there is a white good guy, he is only able to accomplish his feats with the help of some minority. The best example is Independence Day.
Minority. There's a show they're filming here in New Orleans called Tremé. That's a section of town that is notoriously minority and crime-ridden. But, of course, there's the whole cultural jazz play-in that they have it here. And it's the same story, too. It's literally a love letter to the black race. And it's not necessarily, James, that you don't want to give blacks or any race their due. Of course, everyone wants to celebrate their culture and are proud of whatever achievements they made. It's the outright biased, slanted hatred against whites the way that these Jewish producers do it.
Now, listen, you're right on target, Richie. And like I said, it's a formula they have used so many times. Whites are the bad guys. The good guys are always going to be the virtuous minorities. Independence Day just really goes overboard in it. They don't even give you a good white guy. The universe is saved by the Jewish Jeff Goldblum and the black Will Smith. You know, they outsmart the aliens there. But yeah, you know, I'm looking forward. I know that the show you're referring to, Jason Lee stars in it. It's a new series on TNT that actually debuted on Tuesday. I'm just waiting. You know, we're pretty big in Memphis. Everybody in Memphis knows the Political Cesspool. I am looking forward to the episode in which I am the bad guy. And when that episode comes.
I would take that change and run with it, baby.
What was that, Richie?
I would take that opportunity and use it to your advantage, however you could.
We always do. Listen, I've never been attacked where I didn't share it with the world. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Going to apologize in advance to everyone out there who has tried to call in that we're not going to have the time to get to. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I love you. I love our audience. We have a great and supportive listening audience, and I am eternally grateful for that. I want to try to get to another call or two before we run out of time in this, our final segment. But before I go back to the phones, I got to share with you this story. This is great. This is what we work for. This is what our tax dollars go towards. This is our tax dollars at work. In California, families on welfare can get up to $1,500 a month in cash benefits. Now, that's what Martin Luther King had in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Let me read that statement again. In California, families on welfare, and we know what kind of families are on welfare, can get up to $1,500 a month in cash benefits. Now, people, according to the Los Angeles Times, again, everything we document on our website is backed up, verifiable, quote-unquote mainstream facts. Well, anyway, all these welfare recipients in California collecting up to $1,500 a month in cash benefits have been using their welfare debit cards to withdraw $250,000 per month at casinos. At casinos. And here's the story from the LA Times. California welfare recipients using state-issued debit cards withdrew more than $1.8 million in taxpayer cash on casino floors between October 2009 and last month, state officials said Thursday. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger issued an executive order requiring welfare recipients to promise they will use cash benefits to meet the basic needs of their families. Listen, that's a great idea. I think that's going to work. That's what we've been needing. That's what we've been waiting on. Get these deadbeats, get these lowlifes to just promise that they'll use that on food and stuff. That's going to solve it. I guarantee you. Why didn't anybody think of this before? Arnold, you did it, baby. That's it. Get these dregs to promise that they're not going to do that anymore. I think it's going to work. That's it. But it gets worse. Nationwide, across the country, almost 1,300 prisoners, 241 of which are on life sentences, serving life sentences, received $9 million in payouts from Obama's home buying tax credit. This is our tax dollars at work. Both of these stories are documented with factual, verifiable references at the one and only website, our internet headquarters, where you can buy my book, www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. I don't know what's worse. I think I'm more offended by the welfare people going and gambling the money than I am the prisoners buying houses or whatever they did. This is great. I love this country. This country, as long as America keeps going down this path, there will always be a need for the political cesspool. We will never run empty on items to talk about on this show. America keeps us in business. All right, let's go back to the phones. Anton in Pennsylvania. Anton, what can we do for you? You're our last caller of the night.
Well, James, the reason I was calling is because to tell everybody about it is the great book that you've written. And the real reason was because I was one of the people, like many others, I'm sure, that, you know, they're up to date on news. They know the information we're talking about. They think they're educated on certain topics, and they think they know everything. I used to be one of them until I started reading some of your book, and I couldn't put it down for about 2 days. I'm almost done with it up to date, and I just want to tell other people that, you know, a lot of people will benefit from it. Even though you think that you may know a lot of information, and you're up to date on current events, and you also have your information and sites where you think you get your information from, but nevertheless, this was an eye-opening experience, even for somebody like me who think I understood a lot of stuff that's going on, which I didn't. So
hey, Tom,
I just
listen.
Want to say to those people who are kind of skeptical maybe, or maybe they think they know everything, this is a great, great piece of work, and like I said, congratulations on this book, and I wish you guys the best. And the other reason I bought this book was because I don't always have time to donate money. I figured, hey, this is a good thing to do to the cesspool, you know. You listen to the show, you get information, might as well give something back. So, basically, I'm glad you guys did this. The book is great, and I recommend this to read to everybody who's out there who even think they know quite a bit on the subject.
Well, Anton, people like you in our audience are certainly way ahead of the curve when it comes to information that you possess. By the way, thank you for your kind words. Again, I'm greatly appreciative for your comments there, and thank you for your call tonight. But yeah, I mean, you know, our audience certainly possesses a lot of knowledge that, you know, the common man wouldn't perhaps know. Of course, you know, it goes without saying that if everybody were as well informed as the average political cesspool listener, America wouldn't be in the sad shape of affairs that she's in. But nevertheless, you're right. If you buy this book, not only will it help support this program, you'll be getting a great gift back in return. And even though our people are of an advanced intelligence, this will do a couple of things. Number one, it will reinforce your beliefs. And I do think we have covered a lot of topics in the book. When I was, you know, I spent 8 months writing it. And I spent such a long time writing it because I wanted it to be as punchy and as impactful as it could possibly be. And I wanted it to contain elements that perhaps even those in our audience wouldn't yet be aware of. So it'll reinforce your heartfelt beliefs, and it will hopefully, in fact, I think undoubtedly, provide you with a little more knowledge that perhaps you didn't have before you got it. And you can always pass it along or buy a copy for a more moderate or establishment conservative and help usher them in over to where they need to be. And that's right here in the Political Cesspool Radio program. And again, the thing is, when you buy the book, it does help support our work. It keeps this show on the air. Just gives you something to get back in return. For 6 years, we've been asking for donations to help keep the show on the air. And for 6 years, you've given us the funds needed to meet our monthly overhead. Now, you actually get a great professionally produced book back an incentive to support our work. And of course, the book is doing quite well, getting great reviews, not just from those who have reviewed it professionally, but apparently from great men like Anton and Bobby Lee out there in our listening audience who have already purchased and read the book. And it's good to know that the United States Postal Service still works to a nominal degree, because these books are being delivered. So that that gives me a little bit of hope. But again, to buy the book, ladies and gentlemen, you buy it tonight, you'll have it by next week. So quick turnaround there. You'll get it right away. Go to our website. You can buy it online safely and securely for a very minimal amount of money, very minimal amount of money for what you're going to be getting back. And you'll feel good knowing that you're supporting the most courageous political talk radio program in the world. And that's my show, the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm proud of the book. I want you to own a copy. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and there at the top of the homepage, you'll see a link to click. That'll take you right over to the book page. At the bottom of it, you can enter in your credit card information. Boom, it's done. You get in the book. You're going to feel good about it. I'm going to feel good about it. And the great work that we're doing will go on for another 6 years and beyond. It is quite a pleasure to be able to do what we do. And I say it again at the point of exhausting it. It's all made possible by people like Anton and Bobby Lee and Richie and Jim and Tom and all the people who have called in tonight. We've got to do more open mic nights here in the Political Cesspool. We have such a great audience with so much wisdom to be shared. And we will work on doing that more. Hey, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, of course, I said Keith Alexander was on with me tonight. All the other co-hosts had the night off. Eddie the Bombardier has a great guest that's going to be coming on next week during the third hour. Give you a little teaser for next week's show in advance. The Big E, the Bombardier, will be bringing to this program a very well-publicized sheriff from the American Southwest. Let's just leave it at that. This is a guy that's made headlines, and he is standing strong in the fight to secure our borders and put America first. Not only first, but second and third as well. America first. And so we're going to be talking with this sheriff about what he has done to protect the citizens of his community from the illegal alien invasion, and we're going to do that next week right here on the Political Cesspool radio program, which you can catch live, unrehearsed, and uncensored every Saturday night, 6 p.m. Central Time for 3 hours right here on the Liberty News Radio Network. You live here in Memphis. You can catch us live here on 1380 during that time. And also, an hour of our live show from each Saturday night is replayed Monday through Friday on AM 1380 WLRM right here in Memphis where I sit this evening. If you miss all that, our broadcast archives are available to you on demand at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and there is so much more there as well. Our blog, video, contact information, you want to drop us an email with a question, comment, critique, criticism even, we'll read them and try to work with you to make sure you're satisfied with this program. We always seek to better our craft. We always seek to give you a better show than we did the week before. I'm James Edwards. Good night, everybody. We love you.